Went down to the river, washed my sins away. Praying, 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 praying for another day. I went down to that river, washed my sins for free. The devil's on the other bank, staring back at me. I'm a dead man walking. I'm a dead man walking. I'm a dead man.
All right, let's get right into it. Welcome to Ars Politica. For this day's episode, we are going to talk about a tweet by my favorite historian, R. Scott Clark. Yep. No, that's not true. He's not my favorite historian, as you might know, but that doesn't matter. He has a tweet out that he put out. He blocked me on Twitter, so I can't exactly say. I don't know the context, and I don't want to do the effort to look around it and see if he said anything else. So I will just talk about the one tweet, because I think it's a good, at the very least, not to bash Scott Clark, but to look at what he said and then talk about it. It does actually raise a good, interesting conversation, and hopefully this will help you out in that regard. Again, if you want to support me, you can look below to the Patreon. Thank you for the supporters. I appreciate it. I've been doing more of these and will continue to do more in the future. All right. He has a tweet, came out, I think, yesterday. Yesterday would be April 16th, 2024. Actually, 15th. There's a big difference between making America more Christian and establishing a Christian America. So that's the only tweet. Again, there is a big difference between making America more Christian and establishing a Christian America. All right. So there's a lot, depends on what people mean by different words in there. It can mean different things, and that's why it's actually a good discussion point. I wouldn't mind actually talking to Scott Clark about this, but I don't think he would ever talk to me. I don't think he'd ever talk to me, unfortunately. Yeah, I would. Anyway, he says there is a big difference between making America more Christian and establishing a Christian America. So the difference is that more Christian, America more Christian, and establishing a Christian America. I respond and say, like, no, there isn't actually a big difference between the two. And I don't think there is. So what would it mean to make America more Christian? Now, I think, since Scott Clark's a smart guy, I think he would be able to distinguish between making America more humane and making it more Christian. So, like, you, if you don't have laws against murder and people are just murdering each other all over the place, then you establishing a law against murder is not in itself a Christian thing. You're not making it more Christian. You're making it more humane. And of course, most societies have laws or at least rules or whatever against murder because it's not good for human society. So establishing then a law, even a law against adultery, banning pornography, banning abortion, all those things, even though Christians tend to be the ones who advocate for it, I'd argue those are not distinctively Christian. They're just human things. But the reason why Christians advocate for them is that they have been restored by grace to see what is actually more humane. Okay. So then in making America more Christian, you are in fact, it's not by enacting most of the laws that evangelicals are arguing for. Now, I'm not attacking evangelicals for that. I think it's very good that we as evangelicals tend to be kind of the lone bulwark with regard to the moral sanity. And we want to enact good laws that are not just good for Christians, but good for everyone. It's good for everyone that you ban pornography. It's good for abortion. I mean, it's good to ban abortion even for the people who are non-Christians who are going to abort their children, who are going to be raised in non-Christian homes. It's good for everyone involved. It's a human thing. So to make America more Christian would be, and again, we're talking about America. So I'm assuming by America, we mean a collective unit. We're not talking about the Americans more Christian or individual Americans. We're talking about America as a nation or as a nation state or as a, I don't know, political group or something like that. Yet as a country, we're making America more Christian. So this means at the holistic level, at the collective level, outside of the individual level, making America more Christian. So what would this be to make America more Christian? Well, that means there would be distinctive Christian things about America. So America is becoming more Christian as a collective unit. And how would that be? Well, that would be by customs and law. To make a political unit more Christian, or to make a society more Christian, and actually it being made as that society more Christian, you're not referring to, in itself, a conversion of people to Christianity, but that's an individual thing. Of course, that should be, and that can be, and ought to be the springboard from which these other things come. But to make America, because of course America cannot be regenerated as individuals can be regenerated, as Scott Clark would, I'm sure, affirm with me on that. To make America more Christian means that it would be customs and laws, which is a collective thing, which means that the people as America becoming more Christian would then be the rise of a collective sense of a Christian, I don't like the word, but a Christian identity, for lack of a better word at the moment. So America becoming more Christian is actually the American people seeing themselves as Christian, and in response to seeing themselves as Christian, or kind of with interaction of that idea, and also interaction with customs and traditions that are now being formed, America then is becoming more Christian in outward action, in the things that we do, in the sort of things we construct, in the public monuments that we want to display. America becoming more Christian means that the things that are non-Christian or anti-Christian would be torn down, or they would be neglected. So America more Christian actually is in the outward things being more Christian, and that is Christian things being dominant in America. That's what it means to make America more Christian. Okay, so again, public monuments, public symbols, public actions within institutions of such as prayers, stated intentions of institutions regarding Christian things, laws, so Sabbath laws, that would certainly make America more Christian, or at least it would reflect a American Christian America. And you can think of other things as well. I won't mention, just because the insane people will lose their minds. So is there a big difference between making America more Christian, as I've discussed it, as I think Scott Clark, given his understanding of those terms and that terminology, would also affirm, is there a big difference between that and then establishing a Christian America? Now, I think the key word that he'd want to hone in on is establishing, which would then be would be church establishment, right? But I'm not convinced that just simply having a church establishment, as England does, would make something actually Christian. I don't think having something in name only actually makes it Christian. It has to have the sort of outward actions and the customs and the traditions that would make it Christian. Okay, so I don't think you shouldn't think of establishing a Christian nation as being something necessitating a official church establishment. And what is uniquely American is actually having America as the United States as having disestablished or non-establishment, even while the First Amendment did for most of our history, actually permit an establishment at the state level. But you can have a Christian America, as I've described it, a people that identify as a Christian as a whole. I'm not saying there's a lot of individuals who say they are a Christian. I'm talking about the people as a whole would say this is a Christian nation. Okay, and then they have the expectation of Christian conduct. They have customs and traditions that are Christian, and they have some laws that are distinctively Christian. Now, that would make a Christian America. That does not require an establishment over the entire church. If you take like the 19th century, most people would say, you didn't have to say it. America in the 19th century and the early 20th century, I'd say in the mid 20th century and into the 50s and 60s, there was a sense in which, yes, this is a Christian country. It's reflected in even the 20th century presidents saying Christian things, quoting scripture. Everyone would have said this is a Christian nation until very recently. Now, does that did not involve church establishment. And to have a Christian nation, I mean, there's some people who kind of disagree with this. They see ultimately you do need it because of for various reasons. But you can have a Christian people without having a Christian monarch or without having a Christian church. It's a matter of the society, the people as a whole, in their activity in the world, in their self-understanding as a people, being Christian, right? So this is why I think that I respond to this tweet and say, no, it's false. There is no big difference between making America more Christian and establishing a Christian America. Now, you can think that there could be a big difference if it's like America's only barely Christian, and then that's different than establishing a Christian America. So if I don't think that's exactly, that's not his, he didn't say it's barely Christian, he said more Christian. I actually think that becoming more Christian is essentially equivalent of establishing, is more establishing a Christian America. And I would say that in the American context, in American history, in fact, we have such a thorough heritage of faith that we can be, in order to be good Americans, I mean, this runs contrary to post-World War II thinking, but even in the post-World War II era, most people believed this for a time, that actually being a good American in the American historical sense means desiring, wanting a Christian America. And what does that mean? Yeah, that means Christian dominance over the institutions, over the way of life, over social expectations, and even in policy. So you can, in terms of the Sunday Sabbath laws, blue laws, in terms of blasphemy laws, in some case, like even terrible, gross heresy, depending on what it is, can also be truly American, though, of course, those things have to be applied with care, because in America, we have a good, robust tradition of religious liberty that, of course, is grounded in the experience of Protestantism. And this goes back to, what is the Christian character of America? Well, it is thoroughly Protestant. In fact, our conception of liberty is, and the founders in the early 19th century, they'd talk about liberty, and there was no idea of liberalism as we think of it today. There was a robust liberty largely due to Protestantism. And why is that? Well, because Protestantism permits people to recognize the mutual faith of a fellow Protestant, and despite disagreements. This is why you can sit in a room with, I'm going to do this, you know, fairly soon. You can sit in the room with an Anglican, with Anglicans, Presbyterians, Baptists, and even Lutherans can be invited. But we can all get together, and we can enjoy one another's company, have a nice disagreement over the sacraments, or disagreement over baptism. You know, we can have these nice disagreements, and at the same time, we can pray together. We can affirm each other's mutual faith. So Protestantism permits that. Why is that? Because we do not recognize that in order to be a part of the true church, you must affirm this earthly head. You must affirm that there is a head of the church, namely Jesus Christ, who is in heaven. There is no earthly institution that delimits sets the boundaries of who's in and out. Now, that's not to reject Catholicity, but in fact, Catholicity in the Protestant understanding extends out to those people who are part of the visible church, which is not under a visible earthly head. Which means the Presbyterians can have a church next door to a Baptist, and they can actually affirm and love one another as brothers in Christ. So if you think of that conception, that permits a wide level of potential tolerance. Now, I don't think that necessitates toleration. So I think the New England people were kind of right. New England Puritans in the 17th century were kind of right when they said, Baptists, why are you here? We created this for us. Go away. I think that was a legitimate rejection of tolerance. But in other cases, like the case today, and for most of the 19th century and in 20th century, toleration was not only permissible, but prudent and wise and effective. America had very high religiosity throughout the 19th century, into the 20th century. I mean, relative to countries that had very strict kind of establishments. So in that sense, it was kind of effective. And so the point being, as I'm getting at, is a Christian America is a Protestant America. Now, that's not to say Roman Catholics cannot be a part of that. They could be full members of the country. They're not second class in that sense. Nevertheless, it would be a recognition, and actually many Roman Catholics today do recognize that they are in a Protestant country. And despite disagreements and other issues in the past, today, Roman Catholics are full members of society. I think that's largely because the Pope calmed down. Now, we tend to think that there was anti-Roman Catholic bigotry up in the past, but there was negativity towards Roman Catholics, but that was because the Pope assumed all political power. I mean, the Pope did things, excommunicate kings and queens from long distances away, could command his subjects or could command the Roman Catholics as subjects of the Pope to no longer be subject to rulers, could command murder and wars and all sorts of things. And this was actually occurred in history. So there was always this fear that Roman Catholics, because they're under the papacy, one, they were dangerous because of that fact, and also that they were not effectively ever educated in liberty, and that Protestantism was a precondition for robust political liberty in the United States. So I don't think there was some irrationalism going on with regard to Roman Catholics at times, but it was not completely unfounded. Okay. Anyway, the point being, and then Jews and others, non-Christians, what would it mean for them in a making America more Christian? What would it mean for them? Well, this is the thing, is that a confident majority, which I think we were for most of our country's history, a confident Protestant majority or confident Christian majority can permit the maximal freedom of non-Christian groups to do what they want to do within society. Okay? And that's because there is a confident majority. The majority says, this is a Protestant country. You're permitted to be here. If you try to subvert it, that's a problem. But if you don't try to subvert that Protestantism, then you're fine. Then you can practice your religion as you see fit within this country. And that's what the country, the United States, that was the kind of sort of unspoken policy for most of our history. So to make America, to establish Christian America, is not to persecute non-Christians. Nevertheless, it is to say this is a Christian country, you are in a Christian country, and we would not tolerate any sort of active suppression of that fact within institutions. And this would largely be, not necessarily by law, but it would be enforced by people in institutions who want to protect those institutions from precisely that sort of subversion, if it actually comes to that. So, all right. But the point is for this one, the original quote, there is a big difference between making America more Christian and establishing a Christian America. Actually, no, there is not. Making America more Christian, which is what we should do, is the process by which we establish a Christian America that is truly American. So we're not going to transplant Geneva into America, or even Britain having a Church of England. We're not going to do that. Nevertheless, becoming more Christian, making America more Christian through customs and laws and self-understanding, is precisely the American way of establishing Christian America. So that was short. That was the shortest episode I think I've done in a while. I appreciate listening. Again, if you want to support me, please do that. Thank you for all you who are. And I will see you guys tomorrow. Thank you.
Went down to the river, washed my sins away. Praying, 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 praying for another day. I went down to that river, wash my sins for free. The devil's on the other bank, staring back at me. I'm a dead man walking. I'm a dead man walking. I'm a dead man.